a poem called Are We Friends, a poem inspired by St. Francis. The wolf spider on the kitchen floor awaits my verdict. Are we friends or foes? Ah, brother spider, I am weary of passing judgment. Are we not each a flower on the same tree of life? Are we not each blessed by the sun and the rain? Are we not each bound to wither and die, to fall and turn to ash? Ah, brother spider, let there be peace between us. May we each love life in our own way. And when our doom falls, may our ashes mingle.
So I would say we are fully now engrossed in the build-up to the election season, right? Fully engrossed. You know, in Britain, the election season is only 1 month long. And they spend a whole lot less money on the whole thing than we do. I'm ready for some fish and chips. How about you? This election season is nearly as long as our Christmas season, which is long enough to knock anyone unconscious by the time Christmas gets here. We like long seasons in this country for some reason. And because we spend so much time with the election season, we start to memorize all the speeches, all the rhetoric. We know exactly what's coming next. I pay close attention to the words that our politicians use because I'm trying to understand what they're trying to get out of us. Because they're not just choosing words because they're fun words to say. They're choosing words because they want a certain result. And one of the words that politicians so often use that I hear all the time is the word look. Look. Have you heard folks share this in conversations, politicians in debates, pundits speaking for particular points? They'll say, look, the ocean is purple. We need to turn it blue. Look. Can't you see? Look. It's a way to rhetorically focus the conversation and to pull someone into seeing the world as they see it. Look, can't you see it? I see it. See it the way I do. The expectation that we should see what they see. Look. Truth in their eyes should be in yours. How would our world be different if instead of look, they said, do you feel me? Do you feel me? Emotional rather than look. Trouble is, when politicians use emotion, they most likely use a politics of fear. Let me walk us through this. So a politician takes an issue that causes anxiety among some voters, the ocean is purple, and turns it into a high anxiety issue for most voters. Look, can't you see the ocean is purple? And then they offer up a guaranteed hope and thus an expectation that the threat will be removed if you elect me. I will turn that ocean back to blue. Look, we need to fix this. I will turn that ocean back to blue. And they gain new emotional capital from voters by then engendering confidence and their ability to do exactly that. They become the confidence man or woman. Have you been seeing this? Yes? No, maybe. Have you been feeling this? Are your anxieties sufficiently provoked? A raising of anxieties around election season. Do you feel me? So knowing this tactic, this rhetoric, that's half the battle. I think a little plastic army man said that once a long, long time ago. Every episode of the G.I. Joe cartoon ended with a public service announcement from one of two G.I. Joes. Anybody remember this? You can say it out loud. Yeah. You remember this? Remember the G.I. Joes? Thank you, because then it proves I'm not just dreaming this memory. The Joes would always show some sort of a situation where a choice, a decision, an action needed to be made. Look, something's wrong. And then the Joes gave advice. And honestly, everything you ever needed to know in life could have been learned from these two little plastic army men. Here's some of the best stuff. Never try to pet an animal that you don't know. He or she might be lost, sick, or scared. If we don't know, we leave him alone. Join me here. Knowing is half the battle. Don't be in a hurry to build your treehouse. Remember, anything worth doing is worth planning. Knowing is half the battle. And finally, if you catch fire, wrap yourself in a rug or blanket and roll on the ground to smother the flames. Knowing is half the battle. Did they do this? I think they did this too. They did. Yeah, I saw some arms going up there. If I could find those little plastic men and thank them for all of their excellent advice, I would. But I'd also challenge them. They left out one key ingredient: feeling. To oversimplify, but to make the point, I'd say knowing is one third of the battle, doing is the other third of the battle, and the final third of the battle is feeling. Feeling. Never thought I'd raise a theological argument with a 3-inch-tall man in a plastic jumpsuit, but such is life. And honestly, it's the same argument that I'd raise with the politicians vying for our votes. Sounds like a lesson in there. But I digress. And I'd continue the argument with a St. Francis-like turn. St. Francis of Assisi is the saint honored this weekend by the Catholic Church. He penned the well-worn and beautiful words from intern John's prayer, and it is to St. Francis that we owe thanks for the ritual of the animal blessing, which we will have in our service a little bit later on. And I turn to St. Francis to build my argument because he fully understood and appreciated emotional intelligence. He said, "While you are proclaiming peace with your lips, I will turn the purple ocean blue. Be careful to have it even more fully in your heart." To say the obvious in our election-sodden time, words don't necessarily convey the character of the speaker. Words can be used to convince, to obscure truth, and in the rhetoric of fear, words are used to manipulate. St. Francis is remembered as a lover of animals, not political animals, but I'm sure he would have loved them too. He's known for loving the furry, the scaled, the feathered ones. St. Francis would have appreciated John's poem. He would have found a way to befriend that spider. He preached to the geese, and he apologized to the burros. He trusted that they were worthy of his love, worthy of God's love. This emotional connection that is obvious, I believe, so obvious to children, is far less prevalent in adult understanding. Still, most of any age can connect with St. Francis's vision through our relationship to our own pets. Of course they are worthy of love. Look how cute they are. So Honey Dog could feel me. Honey Dog could feel just about anyone in the 3-acre area around her house. Honey Dog had a very acute sense of smell, I believe. Whenever anyone was suffering, whenever anyone was scared or hurt, whether they were hurt physically or hurt emotionally, Honey Dog would leave her own house, our neighbor's house, and walk to the house of the person who was hurting. And she would scratch on the door and whine until you let her in so that she could come in and find the person hurting and sit by their side. So Honey Dog had an amazing sense of smell, and animals sometimes can pick up the scent of suffering. They have that capacity, biologically. But the other thing is that Honey Dog didn't just have this capacity, she used it. She had an astounding emotional intelligence where she could smell sadness and hurt, she would find it and care for the person hurting. How did this happen? One of the things I knew about Honey Dog is that she was terribly abused when she was a young pup. Whenever you would put a hat on anywhere near her, or raise up a stick if you were playing in the yard, or a broom if you were sweeping, Honey Dog would run as quickly as possible and get underneath the piece of furniture that was closest. It was obvious that she'd been beaten when she was a young pup. And I believe she held on to that memory, and she used that emotional experience of pain that she understood to care for others. A pretty beautiful and gracious gift from an animal friend, one that I know many of us emulate in our own lives. Do you feel me? Have you felt the love of an animal before? This emotionally intelligent love? Yeah. To use a G.I. Joe ratio, half of emotional intelligence is feeling your own emotions and trusting that they're there not to punish you, but they have a lesson to teach. And the other half of emotional intelligence is feeling the emotions of others, as Honey Dog did, and using that sensation to care for others, to serve them in their hurt. This is emotional intelligence. Have you ever walked into a room and felt immediately that there was something wrong there? Everyone is going on about their business, but there's this energy. Do you feel me? Or maybe you meet up with a friend and sense that there's this wall between you. Do you feel me? Or can you tell 10 minutes before it happens that a child is going to have a temper tantrum? Or can you tell when a family member is hurting, even though they're wearing this bright smile on their face? Emotions have a language and an intelligence of their own. We literally feel one another, from a distance even. Politicians can use this tool to provoke our anxiety, and they will. And they can use that anxiety to provoke our vote. But they and we can also use emotional intelligence for far more meaningful ends. Sensing another's pain. Recognizing the anger in a room or in our society. And either exiting if we need to find a safe space, or if you feel safe, raising the question, what's going on here? I understand there's anger. Where is that anger coming from? Let me hear you. Let me understand. Or emotional intelligence can be used to experience shared sorrow. Knowing after a tragedy like the shooting in Oregon, we are all aching. That's an intelligence that we feel. We're all confused and we are all beaten down by the prevalence of violence. All of us. But there's a hope because, simply because we are in this together. Emotional intelligence tells us that. We feel it. Do you feel me? How can you use this emotional intelligence? Knowing is half the battle. Knowing it's there and that it's trustworthy as any other kind of intelligence. The other half is using it to serve yourself and to serve others. Look! Do you feel me? Amen.